Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And our guests this morning live this tune by Bill Withers, Lean On Me, helping our community every single day. So pleased to have in the studio this morning Bruce Cady, who's the executive director with Opening Doors. And his guest, we have Clay Romano, who is the CEO with Waterfront Mission. I can't think of two organizations at the moment that are doing more for our community than yours. So it's truly an honor to have you here to talk about what you do this morning. So good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us today.
I'm so excited. So tell me everything. We had you on not too long ago, Bruce, to talk about Opening Doors, and you are the lead agency in Escambia County. Can you talk about that and what your role is? Because some folks may have heard of you, but they don't really know who you are or what you do.
Sure. Thank you for the question. As Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, we are the lead agency in the housing and urban development's continuum of care, the homeless continuum of care for Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And what a continuum of care is, it's a corroboration across all of the service providers that are serving those experiencing homelessness in our community. We have over 60 partner agencies across the two counties that we operate. Waterfront Mission is very much one of those, operating in both Escambia and Santa Rosa. And it's our job, I like to describe it as, we're the mortar, and our partners, like Waterfront Mission, are the bricks.
I like that analogy. That's good.
We fill in we identify the gaps, mm-hmm. and then we work hard with our partners and with our funding sources to fill those gaps. And so we started, we had our first show with you last month, and as long as we can find sponsors, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tell Staffing. For the sponsorship, every month we're going to be highlighting our partners like Waterfront Mission and others that are doing the good work every day.
This is great. I'm really happy that you're here, and I just think it's wonderful that we could do this every month and have people come in and talk about, because I think people are somewhat aware, to be honest with you, but I don't really think they're really aware of the need in our community right now. Can you address that a little bit, Clay, and what you see every day at the mission?
Well, absolutely. So the need is growing. In the 5 years that I've been in this role, we have seen a steady increase in the number of individuals that have come up the walkway looking for resources, looking for help, looking for just the basic necessities of life. And we're constantly looking at how we as an organization can increase the amount of resources we can provide to those individuals, increase the amount of help across the community. We reach out across the aisle every opportunity we get. You know, Bruce is new, obviously, to the community, but I am absolutely encouraged and hopeful for our newfound partnership, and because the need is still there. You know, we see people coming in all shapes and sizes, coming up for just that basic necessity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm liking this.
Well, one of the things that I'm hoping that we can do together is to erase the stigma that's attached to homelessness.
Absolutely.
Because I have found that there's so often people have an attitude, or they just think, well, if you just, you know, my dad, I could hear him in my head, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get a job. You know, that's that kind of, but you know, there are a lot of circumstances that can happen quickly to families, to people who suddenly don't have a job and are put suddenly in a position that they never expected to be in. And especially these days, there's just a lot of change happening with AI. People are losing their jobs through no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly find themselves in a position they never imagined. Can you address that a little bit? And in that same context, how can we be more helpful? How? Because it breaks my heart every day on the way to work. I drive by and I see people on the corners with signs looking scared, cold, hungry. And I think, what can I do? So what can I do?
Well, the first thing you can do is support an organization like the Waterfront Mission, who puts those donated dollars and those donated resources to really good use. We have a track record of success for over 76 years now.
Wow.
So we really truly know what we're doing on a daily basis. But one of the things I think the community fails to realize is that, yes, the individuals that we work with are human beings.
Right.
You know, and out of sight, out of mind kind of moments. And so it's not until they have something hit their family or hit them personally that they really truly see the need in the community. That being said, there are so many different subsets of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You have the affordable housing crisis, so the people you were just speaking to. But the two leading causes of homelessness is mental illness and addiction.
Right.
You know, until we address those particular issues, the chances of them getting out of that homeless state becomes next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have to meet them at their most basic, vulnerable spot when they come up for that first time for help. We have to be aware of that and that they are looking for help.
Mm-hmm. And surprisingly to me, there's a tremendous veterans population that's been affected. Some probably because of the mental illness of PTSD. Some mm-hmm. have gone on to addiction, that kind of thing. And so I'm assuming that you do see a lot of veterans.
We absolutely see a ton of veterans. In fact, when I first started 5 years ago, our percentage was approximately 14%, but we have been working steadily with like 90 works in the VA services.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've actually seen a good decrease in that number. So right now, about 12% of the individuals that come up looking for services are veterans.
So that's an improvement.
It is an improvement. We're very excited about that. And we're constantly looking for additional opportunities to get them to the benefits that they've already earned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't know how to get to them. So we make that connection. We have VA services. We have a lot of great connections with obviously NAS and those team members out there, that it's just a matter of connecting them to the right people.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you discover that someone is mentally ill and clearly has no capacity to take care of themselves?
Well, so that's what our community partnerships are, why they're so valuable. In fact, Allison Hill with the LifeView Group is a good friend of mine, and we work on a number of different levels. But we partner with them when those situations are well out of our wheelhouse.
Right.
They have such a tremendous team over at the LifeView Group, and they go out of the way to try to support us as we try to support them as well.
And addiction and getting over addiction is a lifetime recovery. You can't put a Band-Aid on it.
No.
It's a lifetime effort.
You're either an active addict or you're an addict that's in recovery.
That's correct.
So.
Yes, 100%. We are talking this morning with our friends from Opening Doors, Bruce Cady, who's the executive director, and his guest, one of their partners, Clay Romano, who is the CEO with Waterfront Mission. So this is Pep Talk. These are our experts on homelessness here in the area. So if you've got a question or comment, please text it in at 850-437-1620. So I know you had some things you did want to talk about this morning. So what is on your list?
Oh, sure thing. Well, one of our responsibilities in the community is, and it's mandated by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, is once a year, continuums of care across the United States conduct a point in time and housing inventory count. And the pit and the hick are where we take one 24-hour period, and in our community, we chose January 26th as the night that we counted. And our mission was to survey every individual experiencing street homelessness, so unsheltered homelessness, as well as inventorying all of those individuals that are in our shelter system, which the Waterfront Mission is a very large contributor to those shelter bed spaces. I have some data that will actually substantiate
Wow. Yes.
The trends with actual numbers that Clay had spoken of. The aggregate number, including unsheltered homeless, so those that were sleeping in a place not meant for human habitation, And those in our emergency shelter system, which Waterford Mission operates, as well as transitional housing, we surveyed 1,162 individuals that are homeless.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's across both counties, both Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Now, the good news is, and Clay spoke to it, and the data is showing it. And remember, I'm new here.
Right, right.
And as I am analyzing this data, I'm seeing a wonderful trend in our community. When you compare 2023 and 2024, I'm not using the 2025 data because there was this terrible snowstorm apparently that had here.
That's true.
Snowmageddon.
Yeah, Snowmageddon. Well, and so that data is, I don't view that as accurate or complete. But 2023 and 2024, we're seeing a wonderful decline in unsheltered homeless, so those that are on the street. For example, 2023, our communities had 742 unsheltered homeless. The next year, 2024, 544 unsheltered homeless. This year, 424 unsheltered homeless. Okay? Think about that. Year over year, more than a homeless individuals are leaving the street and going into emergency shelter and transitional housing. In those same periods, we're seeing an increase in individuals that are being served by our emergency shelter and transitional housing programs. So the numbers are flat. 2023 was 1,180. 2024, 1,123. 2026, 1,162. Flat. Mm-hmm. Less than 4% variation. Okay? So the number of homeless in our community is relatively flat, but we're doing the good work to bring them from the street into emergency shelter and transitional housing. And it's my challenge to understand the data on where, how we can get that number, the aggregate number down, mm-hmm. get them out of emergency shelter and transitional housing into permanent housing. Now, and also to back up Clay's statistics here, in our veteran count across the two counties, we identified 134 veterans during the point in time count, which is 13%.
Okay.
Of the of those that are experiencing homelessness. So his numbers are correct. In my experience for this community, mm-hmm. compared to other communities, I'm troubled by the homeless veteran number.
Right. Right. Which is surprising when you think about it, because yeah. we are such a veteran friendly community. I mean, with the bases here and so many of the retired people that come back that are veterans from NAS and come back here to retire. So we need to do better.
Well, yeah, and we're kind of half joking about it before we came in here. You know, I view my job, and I think Clay does as well, to do away with our job.
Mm.
Let's serve the community. Let's
wouldn't that be nice?
Eradicate homelessness so that Clay and I can go off and do other wonderful things mm-hmm. other than helping the homeless. But for the time being, this is what we're doing. This mm-hmm. is what I know it's a passion of his, and it's certainly a passion of mine as well.
Okay. So, Clay, when you're talking about Waterfront Mission, and maybe I know everyone probably has ever lived in this community has heard of you, but can you describe a little bit about what your services are? Because there might be some misunderstanding about that.
Well, actually, you know, we jokingly say that we're the best kept secret along the Gulf Coast, because so many times when we do tours for community partners and guests and volunteers, you know, we usually have someone say, I had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea you were this large. I had no idea you did this many things. But we're very excited about our future. The first 5 years I've been sharing with my board and our team members that, you know, the first 5 years of me being in this role has been more about stabilization and foundation. And now we're in a position where we're looking to expand our services. You know, so we have over a dozen different programs that people can get into. working homeless, chronically homeless, job training. About a year and a half ago, when we celebrated our 75th anniversary, we launched two new programs. One was Hope for Her, which is our women's overnight emergency shelter service. Mm-hmm. And then the Aruka Respite Center, which is a transitional step-down unit for individuals experiencing homelessness coming out of the healthcare systems. They're healthy enough to be discharged, but still not healthy enough to get well on their own, out on the streets.
And that's a little bit of a trap door for them. They get the help they need, but then they have nowhere to go.
Exactly. And so what happens is you see this merry-go-round of bad healthcare outcomes because they're out on the streets and, you know, they may have a wound or they might need antibiotics. And, you know, you can't, you know, give someone antibiotics intravenously on the streets. Mm-hmm. So this is a great process for us to work with the local healthcare providers, both here and in Mobile, to provide that safe space for them to at least get well and back on their feet. And then while they're with us, we can help case manage them and find out what does that next level of success for them need to look like.
And what is, let's go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, because everybody's journey is different.
Mm-hmm. So what is the area that you do serve?
So we have our two missions. Our flagship mission is here in Pensacola. We also have a sister mission over in Mobile, Alabama. And so we serve along the Gulf Coast. You know, we support those two missions with our seven thrift stores and our incredible donor base. And of course, we also have a very good online thrift store if anybody's interested in checking that out. And we take those dollars and we support the missions 100% of the time.
So then when someone comes in for your services, you do provide a place to sleep, a place to stay. And so on average, how many people would you say, do you have the numbers on that just in terms of daily or monthly?
Yeah. So interestingly, it fluctuates with the weather.
Of course. You know,
so obviously when we've had those cold snaps here recently, between the two missions, we've been well over 300 individuals in our care overnight.
In one night. Oh,
yes,
my
ma'am.
Goodness.
With, of course, the lion's share being here in Pensacola because we have more spaces here. Mm-hmm. Our women's program, you know, I remember the very first night we opened that up about a year and a half ago, I was praying that five women would show up. We had 12.
Wow.
By the end of the week, we were over 20. Mm-hmm. And I said to our VP of ministry, Jason Grizzard, I said, we're going to have a conversation before the end of the year about capacity. And so depending on the weather, we can be well over our bed count for women. But thankfully, with our community partnerships with the Salvation Army, they've provided us additional cots where we can help set up additional people in the hallways and in between the dorms that we have set up.
That's great. So how can I help? Because I'm a softie, and I always sit at the light and I think, should I give a dollar? Should I give my coffee that I'm sitting here drinking? What can I do? And I've heard different schools of thought on that, whether to help a person directly, whether mm-hmm. not to help them directly. Do you have some thoughts on that? And what is your advice?
So my advice is, if you're in your car and you see someone that is panhandling and God places it on your heart to give them money, I would say, give them the money, because God will bless you for that. However, my advice to people is understand that when you give money out the car window like that, the chances of that dollar or that $10 or whatever you give them will go to something that you probably don't want to support, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, in some cases even prostitution. So my advice to you would be, partner with an organization like the Waterfront Mission, because you can make sure that the dollars are being spent in the right way.
So how do I do that? How can I become involved, or how can I donate? What are my options, I guess?
Well, there's plenty of opportunities. You can visit our webpage, www.waterfrontmission.org. You can give monetarily there. You could also serve at the mission through volunteerism, either at one of our incredible thrift stores or at one of our missions. That helping us support these individuals is key. Our volunteer groups are the best and most giving people we've ever come across. And we really couldn't do as much as we do without our incredible volunteer base. And then you could also donate your slightly used goods, your mm-hmm. clothes, your know, furniture and fixtures and stuff like that at any one of our stores, because we will turn that around. And then, of course, that money goes directly to the missions.
Which is great. Okay, so now I have some ideas of what to do. So I feel better already. So fantastic. I can actually have something important to do. So, Bruce, we have just a few minutes left. Anything else you want to mention about opening doors and what we see as we come into spring and summer? Because a lot of times our population does seem to go up. Our homeless population, I should say.
Well, another point that I'd like to kind of share with your audience in our role as the lead agency for the Continuum, we are aggressively advocating with local governments, elected officials, as well as state level and federal level elected officials. If homelessness is something that you believe in your heart we as a society can solve, please make sure that your elected officials, your representatives in local, state, and federal governments know that that's your opinion and know that that's weighing on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed to have the opportunity 2 weeks ago to visit with one of our funding sources. It's state funding, a combination of state and passed through federal, the Department of Children and Families, DCF, in Tallahassee. They're an absolutely critical funding source for our community. And what we do at Opening Doors through our role with the Continuum is we apply for that funding using the data that I shared earlier and other data points that are specific to our community to bring those dollars in from outside of our local tax base to then work with our Continuum leadership to determine the need in the community and then solicit applications, for want of a better word, from providers like Waterfront Mission and others that we then distribute the funds for them to execute. So we're the fiscal agent for over $1 million worth of funds coming into our community that are then distributed across the nonprofit spectrum. You know, that's part of our mission. Here is to get the funding. So Clay's work is very much boots on the ground, in the street, serving the individuals day in and day out. We're behind the scenes doing the best that we can to ensure that the supports are here in the community, as well as analyzing the needs in the community. What is the data showing us? Like, for instance, Clay mentioned a number of about 300 on an overnight. For the night of January 26th, or PIT, they housed 273
wow.
individuals.
Wow, that's incredible.
And so this data then allows us to create a picture. And one of the items that that I'm going to make sure we do as we analyze and report this point in time data is there are other data sources available in the community that corroborate this. The school districts have to do a McKinney-Vento survey of students experiencing homelessness at the start of the year. A 2-on-1, we have a wonderful 2-on-1 program here for people that are in crisis. They have one three-digit number to remember, and 2-on-1 call volume during January corroborates the numbers that we're seeing here. So it gives us a much better picture of, and Clay very rightfully said, there's more to homelessness than just the street homelessness that we see.
Mm-hmm.
There's people
in their cars.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of children that are homeless, technically they're sleeping on couches.
Mm-hmm. Yep, couch surfing hopping between family members. We as a community need to understand what that is too and then do something about it.
Okay, we've got a minute or so left. So what can I do? I'm talking with Bruce Cady, who is with Opening Doors, and Clay Romano, who is with Waterfront Mission. Got about a minute or so left. What can we do? If our listeners sit in the car and go, I want to do something.
So here's the thing I'd like to just point out. Bruce had just mentioned that on the point in time count night, we had 273 individuals in our facility. Let me just point out, you know, we have, in my opinion, the most incredible team members. You know, they are you talk about the boots on the ground, our ministry teams, our retail teams, our administrative team, they put this work in and day out. You can help support them in a number of different ways. It's not just through giving donations through our stores and stuff. Okay. Support us. Pray for us.
Okay. What is your mission, the website?
www.waterfrontmission.org.
And the emergency number is 211 that people can use to get resources, so they make sure you know about that. Bruce, thank you for all that you do. We really appreciate you and everyone at Opening Doors. Clay, everyone at Waterfront Mission. In my opinion, no one in this country should be homeless.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.